All right. Good morning. Hi. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start with that. And I'll just go ahead and read the chapter for us. So, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Peggy used to make tapes for us all, and we always enjoyed that. And on those, she would put, you know, like a little title. So I always like to title my talks. And the title today is Enlightenment. And if we go over to chapter 4 of the same book, verses 3 and 4, we see, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Okay, so what do we see here? We see a separation. There's a separation of the people. There's a dichotomy. We have those who are blind, and we have those who see. And we have those who have turned to the Lord, and those whose minds are blinded and are perishing. And the verse I really want to focus on says, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." It refers to our conversion. When I turned to the Lord, the veil was taken away, and I understood that Jesus died for me, that He rose for me, and He reigns for me. Now think about this. Do you fully understand God? No. So, as we turn to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. What does that mean? He reveals Himself to us. So how does this happen? Well, if we look at the next verse, immediately we're told the Lord is Spirit. So we need to be open to the Holy Spirit to be enlightened, to have our eyes opened to all the fullness of God. We were talking about this the other day. If you read the Old Testament and you read the New Testament and you know it, say you memorize it. I've been told there's a guy that memorized the entire Bible. Well, you know the Word. That's not where salvation comes from. In the letter, there's death, there's condemnation, the letter, the law. In the Spirit, there's life. So we have to have the Holy Spirit come in us, dwell in us, and reveal to us what is the real truth. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. So why do we behold as in a mirror? Well, we still can't directly look at God. He's too great and awesome. So when we look as in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we've been given a goal here. You know, if you want to know what your goal is in life, we were just given our goal. We behold the glory of the Lord. We turn to the Lord, and what happens to us? We're being transformed into the image of Christ. Our life in Christ is a journey, and there's many steps, there's many events, there's many struggles, and many glories. And when we're going through the struggles, we have to remember that there is a point to all this. There is a plan, there is a purpose. And by the Holy Spirit, God is changing you to the image of His Son. Why? Well, He's doing it for His glory. When we turn to the Lord, we can see His plans for us and for His people. There's a story in Numbers 24. I won't read the whole story, but it's the story of the prophet Balaam. And Balaam was trying to please both God and man. And what happened was Balaam said, well, I'm a prophet. I'm going to have to go seek the Lord on that. And when he sought the Lord made it clear that his job was to bless Israel and not bless these people that weren't Israel. So when we turn our eyes to the Lord, we're open to His will. Okay. So if this is good for God's prophet, I would say to you that it's good for you too. And the question is, do you ever turn to God for help? And I'll just ask you if you ever have difficult situations at work. Anybody here have difficult situations at work? Come up. Okay. So this week, I had a particularly difficult situation at work. I'm not really fond of reprimanding my partners. But situations came up that I had to discipline people at work. I don't mean employees. I mean other doctors. And so I prayed about it with Sandy. And I waited on the Lord. And I set up a meeting. And I asked God to give me the right words and the right attitude. And God helped and completely blessed the interaction. The people I'm dealing with are not confessing Christians. I do pray for their salvation. And when I do this, it puts my heart in a condition that I'm not trying to condemn them, but I'm trying to encourage them to do what's right. I also have the attitude that I'd like to help them solve their issues. I'm able to look deeper into the situation to see the root of the issue. I'm also more sensitive to their hearts. I am truthful. I am respectful. Seeking Jesus and turning to Him enlightens our hearts and opens our eyes to things that we can't see and gives us words that are from Him that we wouldn't otherwise say. So King David knew about turning to God. He sought the Lord as he was fleeing from his enemies, and God came to him with answers, and David came to God with thanksgiving in his heart when he was victorious over them. In 2 Samuel 22, David says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." So God is light. He's spiritual light. And we spend way too much time in darkness. God promises to deliver us when we are in trouble, when we fear Him, and when we look to Him. Psalm 25, David says, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." So the question I have for you is, do we fear the Lord? Do we consider that He's watching us at all times? Do we ponder His wisdom and His power, His greatness? He will teach us His ways. David says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord." And this was very real to David because God delivered him from his enemies and the enemy's traps every single day. So he you know, whenever we're in trouble, that's when we go to the Lord. We're just like, "I'm in trouble. I'm going to look toward you, Lord." But we're supposed to look to Him every day. And we need to realize that the nets that have entangled us, and you know, we have to realize that they're there and look around and see what's going on and then look to the Lord for the answers. So how does this happen practically? It's one thing to say it. How do we do it? Well, we need to pray. We need to ask God, "What is your plan?" There's always the old saying, you know, this came up again this week, is rather than asking, "Lord, how do I get out of this?" We're supposed to ask Him, "What am I supposed to be getting out of this?" And He'll reveal this to us in His Word. Psalm 119 tells us of the virtues of God's Word. Verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And David teaches us to read the Word and to ponder it. We're to obey the Word and to live it. Okay, so we see that light is better than darkness. We get understanding. We get delivered from our enemies. And Paul reminds us once again that because of the light, we are saved. Now, Paul was living his life before he was a Christian. He was living his life persecuting Christians. And he was very passionate about his mission. And he was heading to Damascus when he met Jesus. And when he's before King Agrippa, Paul gives his own account of what happened. And he says, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying, in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" So, sometimes when you read and you reread a passage of Scripture, you'll be affected by it differently. Do you ever read the Bible as if Jesus is speaking to you? All right, so now put yourself in Paul's spot. You're on the road to Damascus. He knocked you down. And he says to you, "Rise and stand on your feet." So what's he telling us? He's saying, get up spiritually. God has revealed himself to you for a purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. That's what he said to Paul. This is why I knocked you down. This is why I got you up, to make you a minister and a witness. Now, what does he want us to minister and witness? He's done things in your life that you could share with others for his glory. You've seen things in your life that you could share. There are also things that God will reveal to you. God says, "I will deliver you." He says, "I now send you." Why? To open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light. So God is speaking to us in His Word directly. Look at the words. They almost jump off the page. The Apostle Paul also teaches us in Ephesians that we need to be encouraged. And we need to encourage others. We need to pray, and we need others to pray for us. We're interdependent. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. On our own, we are weak, and God understands this. We reason, and we make choices, We can freely choose God's ways or the world's ways. And when we turn to God, the light shines. Our eyes are opened. We see the riches of the glory of His inheritance. We come to know what is the hope of His calling. We all have basic needs in life. We need to love, and we need to be loved. We need hope. We need to have something to hope for. And we need to know that we're significant and that we matter. And God tells us that we're significant. He tells us we matter. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. And in Him we have hope. And He knows we're weak. We need to see His love by interacting with others that belong to Him. And we need to be the ones to encourage others and to share our hope. In Psalm 18 we read, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And we are a simple people. God is able to make us wise by revealing His truth to us and in us. Okay, so I always like to be practical. So I'm almost done. What's going to happen now? What are you guys going to do? I'd like to encourage you first, go home and read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Read it again. The other thing I'd like to encourage you to do is write down the verse. "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Just write it on a piece of paper. And once a day for the next week, look at it. And close your eyes and pray and let the Holy Spirit open that up to you. And act like God's talking to you. "Nevertheless, when you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away." I recently went to a meeting, a gastroenterology meeting in San Diego 2 weeks ago. And I went to a postgraduate course on endoscopy. And most of you know that I spent most of last year studying for my exam. I have to take my board exams once every 10 years. And I spent 12 months studying for this thing. And I passed. And so I'm pretty up on things right now. I kind of got the state of the art through November of 2011. So I'm going to a meeting in May of 2012, not much later. And there wasn't much they were going to teach me. So my goal in life now is different than it was when I was starting out, when every word I was like writing down. Well, now what I try to do is I try to get one point out of each lecture. If I can take home one thing that's useful for me to take care of patients out of each lecture, I'm doing great. Because I went to 20 lectures. So if I get 20 new things, that's wonderful. So that's what I'm looking for. And I would give to you that maybe what you could do is take one thing home from today. Maybe more. I don't know. But at least one. You know, I hope everybody remembers what Phil spoke on last week. I hope everybody remembers what Ted spoke on 2 weeks ago. That changed your life. The whole point of all this isn't to come and get together and listen and then go home and forget. It's to have this change our lives. And the word is here to speak to you, to speak to your heart. So we're all being transformed into the image of Christ, step by step, at our own pace. And I'd like you to make an effort to turn to the Lord. And if you do, He promises the veil will be taken away and your eyes will be enlightened. Amen.